This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Perpetually standing in the breach and always ready to stay in the fight. Coming to you from an undisclosed broadcast location. Presented by AR-500 Armor. The Armored Republic cometh. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
Hour number three. Coming to you live from the AR-500 Armor Radio Studio. This is Lock and Load. I like to read. And I like to read stuff by certain people. And most of these certain people that I like to read, if I get to meet them or I get to know them some way, that's even makes it more gooder for me. So that's why when this guy called me and said, Bill, I'd like to be back on your show, I was like, well, let me think. So joining us again from out there in the world where he looks around at everything going on in the world, including what we're going to talk about tonight, joining us now is writer and activist and instructor, Dean Weingarten. Good evening, sir.
Pleasure to be here, Bill, and hopefully we can get some facts out there tonight.
You know, I was talking about this thing that you and I talked about earlier today with the hunter that threw the gun to the trail guide, and apparently this is out there. I mean, I was talking to somebody in Chicago that had heard about this thing. And you said that there was some more stuff that has come out about it. I talked about this last night. Hunter and the guide were attacked by a bear while they were dressing an elk. And it was by Mr. Weingarten. What have you found out about this particular incident?
Well, there's quite a bit of confusion out there because we're getting information from three different sources. We're getting information from the hunter who was attacked, Corey Chubon. We're getting information from the investigators out in the field, what they've found on site, and apparently what they have told some people in the press. And then we're getting information from Corey Chubon's father, who has given some information to reporters that Corey is saying isn't quite right or is being misinterpreted. So one of the things we found out was that the investigators in the field found that the guide, Mark Uptain, had bear spray and apparently had emptied a can of bear spray because there was an empty can of bear spray with the safety off at the scene, and there was bear spray on the bear. It was a grizzly sow. There were two bears involved, a grizzly sow and a nearly adult cub. And the sow had bear spray on it, and she attacked the investigators at the scene, and they had to shoot her and kill her, and that's how they found she had bear spray on her.
Right.
So there's no question, but this is an instance of a fatal failure of bear spray. Now, in terms of Corey Chubon throwing the gun, he said that he threw a pistol or attempted to throw a pistol to the guide, Mark Uptain, and he said that several times, and he said that, you know, he was, the bear was swinging him around, one of his quotes says, when he attempted to throw the pistol, but it didn't make it to the guide. That, you know, we don't know what caliber, make, model, whose gun it was. There's many unknowns in this overall situation.
Right.
And it hasn't been cleared up in the last couple of days. But we found out a couple of things. We know for sure that investigators found an aggressive grizzly bear out there who attacked them. They found a can of bear spray that was empty near the dead guide, Mark Uptain, and that it was the bear had bear spray on it. So we know those facts for certain. The investigators at last report had not found the pistol that has been reported to be involved. So that's about where I am. There's some other things that are uncertain. Like the father said that they were mounted and dragging the elk out from timber. Other people have said, well, it's been surmised that they were butchering or dressing out the elk when they were surprised.
Right.
Nobody knows exactly how close or how far from the elk carcass they were when they were attacked. At least nobody has said or put it in definitive terms yet.
Was the can of bear spray in the vicinity of the man's remains? It was about from Mr. Epstein's remains.
Yeah. Well, here's the quote from buckrail.com. It says the interagency search for the guy spot was found that day. His fatal injuries consistent with the bear attack. An investigation found a discharged can of bear spray with the safety off near the body. It was later determined that the sow, the female bear, had been sprayed with bear spray.
So, I'm not a forensic specialist, and I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. Do we have any information regarding that this guy was possibly moved by the bear after the bear killed him?
I don't think any of that has come out yet. Locations where everything occurred, all we know is that there's an elk, a couple of hunters, the hunter and the guide, two bears, and, there may have been horses involved. It's not entirely clear. The only person that's mentioned horses so far is Corey's father.
Right.
But there's a picture that Corey provided to somehow a Florida News Service got a hold of it, that shows Corey and his father mounted on horses, presumably during this hunt at some point.
Right. Well, I guess the point I'm trying to make is if you've got the elk in the general vicinity, you've got the dead body in the general vicinity, and you got the can of bear spray in the general vicinity.
Close to the body of the guide, Mark.
Where would the gun be? If somebody actually threw a gun out there, if it took 20 years to find his body, I could see where that might get covered up. But if it took, a day, it should still be on top of the ground somewhere.
There's been some indication the body may have been moved by the bear, or the grizzly may have dragged Upton further downslope into the woods, whatever, that may have happened. And that is certainly not something that is unusual. These fights are dynamic. That's often been the case that people have been attacked by a bear once, and then the bear goes away a little bit. They try to move or get away a little bit, and the bear comes back and attacks him again, and sometimes finishes the job. So,
right.
It's certainly possible that Mark could have moved or been moved or dragged, and so we just don't know. But it doesn't sound like it was a huge distance, but a couple hundred yards can make a lot of territory to cover when you're looking for a gun that may have slid under leaves or something like
that. Yeah, and it would have to be quite a bit of movement for that to be. How did the can of bear spray get dragged by? Did the bear take that too? I'm not leaving this here.
The presumption is that Mark had it on his person or was using it or attempting to use it. And we've seen this particularly with black bears, not as much, grizzlies, but with black bears where bears get sprayed and they go, stop at a tap for a little bit, shake it off, and then come back. And sometimes with black bears, this has happened several times until the can of bear spray is exhausted. So, we just don't know those details here. But clearly, he had the bear spray. He used the bear spray. Spray got on the bear, but it wasn't sufficient to stop the attack or to stop him from getting killed. Maybe it stopped the attack momentarily.
I'll have to bring this up in the next segment. You can go to Ammoland.com and you can find just about everything Dean Weingarten has ever written, or at least everything he's written for Ammoland, which is a copious amount of words.
I think he got over 1,000 articles, sir.
Yeah, 1,000 articles, Dean. 1,000 articles. And I meant to ask you, I see you in every picture I see you in except one. You're always wearing your hat, your fedora type hat. Does that just go everywhere you go?
Well, pretty much. What happened is that.
I shouldn't ask you that. We'll come back to the hat. I'm sorry. After that, we're going into the break. You hang on. Hang on. We'll be right back. My guest is Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load.
piece of Americana, this is Nighthawk Custom. Completing Browning's vision of the 1911, Nighthawk Custom is not a mass production facility. Each custom touch is machined to an exacting standard, with the heart and soul of each craftsman that takes it through the process. Traditional or tactical, Nighthawk Custom delivers a weapon you can trust with your life. Custom to your specification or ready to ship with the reserve line. For their complete selection, go to NighthawkCustom.com. Nighthawk Custom. One gun, one gunsmith.
Who needs a Boyd's Hardwood gun stock? Everyone. Crack stock? Back in action. Not the best fit? Now it's made for you. Tired look? Now the coolest gun in camp. Want tighter groups? Now you're more accurate than ever. A new Boyd's Hardwood gun stock will make your firearm fit, function, and look better than ever. Boyd's. Rock your stock. Rock your gun.
Ever wonder how Bitcoin and Ethereum were created? Vercel Media has helped hundreds of companies and individuals make their own cryptocurrency. Decentralized blockchain solutions are making the world more transparent and giving power back to the people. Vercel Media has helped companies raise tens of millions in the past year alone, structuring and marketing ICOs to the thirsty crypto public worldwide. Don't miss the cryptocurrency revolution. Visit VercelMedia.com. VercelMedia.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
When you use public Wi-Fi, hackers and identity thieves can see anything you do online. Embarrassing photos, your web history, even your passwords. That's why I use private internet access to encrypt my internet connection for less than 10 cents a day. Sign up now at privateinternetaccess.com, and in just a few minutes, you'll be browsing anonymously and only sharing what you want to share. privateinternetaccess.com. It's time to protect your online privacy.
Childhood is full of wonder, and we get the chance to relive it with our grandchildren every day. But imagine missing special moments with a grandchild or seeing them through cloudy vision. The Foundation Fighting Blindness can help by providing valuable information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of vision loss in people 55 and older, but it doesn't have to be. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is driving research and saving sight by providing information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Don't miss a moment of your grandchildren's youthful wonder because of poor vision. Learn more about vision-saving preventions and treatments. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org, where you can find so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today. That number again is 1-800-BLINDNESS or fightblindness.org.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Coming to you live from the AR-500 Armor Radio Studio, this is Lock and Load. I just got sort of choked up over that one. Don't know why. Anyway, talking to Dean Weingarten. You're known for the head, aren't you? I mean, the one time I spoke with you before you moved from your table, you had your hat in place. Is just the lucky talisman for you? Is it more?
Well,
your
I
block?
Like hats, and I think one of the reasons that we've gone away from hats is because far more people are spending much more of their time indoors.
Right.
If you spend much time outdoors, you find hats a very useful thing. But the hat that I was wearing, that fedora, when I started publishing articles on Animaland, they wanted a picture for the bio.
Right.
And I happened to have a picture of me at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas, and I had the hat on. So I gave them that picture, and then it became, you know, kind of associated with me. And so now people recognize me by the hat.
If you don't have it, they're like, yeah, oh, it's you, Dean, but where's your hat?
Yeah, well, you know, and the hat makes it easy for people to find me in a crowd, whatever.
Right.
So it's actually, I like the hat a lot, so I just wear it most of the time.
You know, my father's generation, they all wore fedoras and hats, and that was like a thing. Everybody,
right.
man just wore them the whole time. I mean, and I like a lot of...
Seems to be the Kennedy administration, JFK. He didn't wear a hat because it messed up his hair, and he thought he looked so good that he didn't want a hat messing up his photographs.
Well, we couldn't have
And, of course, we moved very much from people who spent a fair amount of time outdoors. We were in that process right through the 40s and 50s and 60s, and so with Kennedy, the style change came, and people just stopped wearing hats as routine. Now, as I said, if you look at people who spend a lot of time outdoors, they tend to have headgear on.
Yeah, but now everybody defaults to the ball cap.
Well, they're cheap and easy, you know.
Yeah. Anyway. Anyway. One thing, though, back to the unfortunate Mr. Uptain, I still am trying to figure out why somebody will pull out a gun and toss it to somebody rather than pull it up, aim it, and start letting go at the bear that's attacking your companion.
There's just so much we don't know.
I
mean,
I know.
We don't know how much experience Corey may have had with pistols. We don't know if the pistol was his or if it was Mark's. We don't know if it was a report that it was in a pack. And then it sounds like it may not have been in a pack, if he was mounted and could access it easily. Or if he was being chewed on by the bear and being tossed about, he may have thought that he could get the pistol to the guy that could shoot the bear easier than he could.
Right.
You know, it's easy to come up with scenarios in our head to picture how we would have done things, but we're basing those on scenarios in our head, and we weren't there. So all kinds of weird stuff can happen in a situation like that, and I don't want to pass judgment. I think somebody who was an accomplished pistol shot probably would have acted differently.
Right.
I don't know that Corey Chubon is an accomplished pistol shot or not. There's just a lot we don't know, and I have to remind everybody, let's not make all kinds of value judgments about what happened when we don't know, we weren't there. Yeah, tossing a pistol when you're being gnawed on by a bear seems pretty unusual. But then again, you know, Corey Chubon says that Mark was heroic and was yelling at the bear and trying to drive it away or distract them. And it appears that the bear had attacked Mark first. I mean,
right.
Most of the accounts seem to indicate that. But then it turned from Mark and went to Corey. Now, so in my head, that indicates there's a little time to get a pistol ready or whatever. But we don't know because we weren't there. And if you're on a horse and a bear is attacking and you're not a superb horseman, you might have a little bit more to deal with than to trying to get a shot off a bouncing horse at a bear that's coming at you.
Right. When I was talking with this person out of Chicago, female, she was, I asked her point blank. I said, when you're out there hunting, do you carry a weapon in case you come upon a predator or only the weapon that you need to hunt the animal you're hunting, which they're primarily elk hunters like Mr. Uptain and Mr. Trudon there. And, she told me that they only carry guns for the hunt. But she knew about this story, and I was just thinking, I mean, how prevalent is that? And how often are these kind of attacks, how prevalent are they?
Well, one of the, I think it was the Fish and Wildlife or Wildlife and Fish in Wyoming, Game and Fish maybe in Wyoming, manager for the area, and I have his name somewhere. I couldn't dig it up. But he made a comment to the effect that in that area, it was just crawling with bears. Now, maybe crawling isn't the exact word to use, but the impression he gave was that there were was a very heavy concentration of bears in the area, and that they've had a lot of confrontations and attacks and such, and it's near Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and my recollection, though it's often faulty, tells me that, yeah, there have been a number of bear incidents in that area. And, you know, we just had a federal judge say that they could not have bear seasons or seasons on grizzly bears that were scheduled to open.
And in New Jersey?
No, in Montana, Wyoming area.
Really?
Yeah, because they're just scheduling their first grizzly bear hunt in many decades, legal hunt, and the federal judge said, and this irked me because it happened, he made the decision the day before or maybe 2 days before the hunt was supposed to start and said, no, we're not going to allow it to go forward because I have unanswered questions about whether this is will impact the bears in ways that are non-recoverable or something like that. I'm probably mauling the quote, but
When you
don't allow people to harvest bears, the bears, of course, don't have much fear of people. And the less fear of people bears have, the more likely you are to have nasty encounters like this.
Yeah. I want to continue on with that when we get back from the break. This is one of these subjects that fascinates me just because it's another one of these things where we don't seem to be learning very much about from our mistakes. But Dean Weingarten, he's been a peace officer, a military officer. He was on the University of Wisconsin pistol team for 4 years. He was the first certified to teach firearm safety, or was first certified to teach firearm safety in 1973. He's taught the Arizona Concealed and Carry course for 15 years until the goal of constitutional carry was attained, which no longer have to do that anymore. His website's gunwatch.blogspot.com and find him at amaland.com. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning. Designed by a U.S. Army sergeant after a deployment in Iraq. This is Sheath Underwear. Sheath is a high-performance, high-functioning underwear. Segmented where it counts, reducing irritation and chafing. At home, in the car, on the field, in competition, or in combat. Sheath Underwear keeps you cool and allows you to focus on the task at hand. Sheath Underwear is dedicated to health, fitness, and style. Sheathunderwear.com. It will change the quality of your day-to-day life.
USA Radio News.
North Carolina's poultry farm suffered significant losses in Hurricane Florence while flooding from the storm damaged crops in South Carolina. Sanderson Farms, one of the largest poultry producers in North Carolina, lost 1.7 billion chickens on its farms. Today, President Trump was in North and South Carolina surveying the damage.
We are behind you from day one, from 3 days ago, and now it looks nice, but it's really the calm before the storm. You're going to have a lot of water. We see it. It's coming down. It just comes down. Nobody would believe a thing like this could happen. And already you've broken all records. So Washington is with you. Trump is with you.
The 20-year-old illegal immigrant who abducted and stabbed Molly Tibbetts in Iowa has pleaded not guilty to first-degree murder. The suspect waived his right to be tried within 90 days, and a trial is set for April 16th. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Money! 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 Money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call, 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
To you live from the AR 500 Armor Radio Studio. This is Lock and Load. And I am talking to Dean Weingarten. We're talking right now. We're talking about hunters and everything. Now, I asked you about hunters that, or I brought up hunters that it seems like a lot of hunters go out and they don't think beyond the elk. And yet, that in a lot of these areas, like in the area you're talking about where the judge has restricted hunting of grizzly bears, which I guess this is the first time in a while, like you said, that this has been something they want to do, this will lead to a bunch of grizzly bears that get too old to forage for themselves, and then they're already not afraid of humans, so they'll just look at humans and say, okay, well, this could be lunch.
Well, it's... I don't subscribe to the idea that they just get too old. I mean, Okay. Nature is a pretty nasty place, and bears are constantly competing for food sources. And especially as winter comes on, they have to lard up, and if they don't, they don't have enough fat to survive the winter, and they die. So there's a lot of reasons why a bear might turn to attacking people. But I have to say that bear attacks on people are relatively rare. So it's understandable that some people would say that, you know, it's not going to happen to me, so I don't have to worry about it too much. And if you've got a powerful rifle in your hands, a powerful rifle is a pretty good defense against bears if you're willing to use it and have enough time to do so.
Right.
So the problem is that a lot of people, bears learn that humans can kill big game and that they search for these kills, and if they have a blood trail or anything like that, it's just more food for them. So we don't know if that happened in this case. The reports say the elk was not disturbed before the hunters got there to recover it. But it still was putting out scent. There was still a blood trail. We can't know precisely what happened, and we certainly don't know what the bears were thinking. But when bears are not challenged by humans, when every time they get around humans, the humans essentially back off, they learn that humans are not a threat. And
right.
So they become more and more comfortable with humans, and as what happened with Timothy Treadwell in that, you know, terrible case in Alaska, he just kept hanging around these dangerous, powerful bears, and eventually, in late fall, one or more of them killed him and his companion and ate him. So, because they needed protein and meat to lard up for the winter. So,
yeah,
grizzly bears.
Are you talking about the guy that like studied them and lived with them, and he was his girlfriend, and he? They basically have audio of him being killed and him and his girlfriend.
Right. It's a terrible thing. You can find it on the net. You know, the screams of them being torn apart alive is pretty nasty. But these grizzly bears particularly seem to be very, very dangerous. And because they see themselves as apex predators, I guess, and, you know, willing to fight over territory or just about anything. And the amount of the number of grizzly bears that get in conflicts with humans, especially in that area around Yellowstone, is enormous. It amounts to something like 5% of the whole population of grizzly bears get in conflict with humans enough that they end up getting killed every year. I'm working on an article. That's where I have that number from. But there's a...
When you say that,
enormous. One
is,
out
that
of 20
is that
bears,
a sanctioned thing? Is that some sanctioned thing by some authority that they have to be taken out?
Yes, it's sanctioned. It's either cases that were investigated and found out to be clearly self-defense, or what do they call conflict with humans, or property to a point where the management authority felt that the believed that the bear had to be taken out for safety reasons and were killed by bear management. 5%. That's a lot. That's one out of every 20 bears every year. That's, when you look at humans, you don't get one out of humans getting into a deadly assault or a dangerous assault with other humans every year. It's much tinier percentage like that, less than a tenth of a percent, I believe.
So
bears, grizzly bears in the wild, they're very, very dangerous creatures.
What do the various Department of Natural Resources, I mean, who decided there was going to be a grizzly bear hunt?
I think it was both Wyoming and Montana, I believe, maybe Idaho, I'm not sure. They all were looking to establish hunts, saying that the bears, and this was bears in, I think, in the greater Yellowstone ecosystem area, had reached sufficient numbers that they could be hunted without a problem. That they, you know, they were expanding rapidly enough that they were no longer endangered or threatened in the area. And it seems to be true. I've got that quote. It was, by the way, it was Brad Hovinga, who's the wildlife supervisor for Wyoming Game and Fish.
Right.
And he said, that country is so full of bears. And I've heard this in reading other articles, that there's just a large amount of bears and a large amount of bear-human conflicts because the bears are all looking for food, and you got human hunters in the area, and they're killing game. And so the bears learn to associate human scent with gut piles or whatever, and they don't see humans as a threat because the humans have been conditioned that if a bear confronts them, they do everything they can before using force to kill the bear.
Right.
They will do everything they can to avoid that. And so bears learn that basically humans can be backed off of most situations.
Should hunters be carrying some, like if they're in an area and they're hunting for elk? Like, I had one story of a guy. I heard one story of a guy today that was out hunting elk with black. He was using a muzzleloader, right? Black bear.
Uh-huh.
And it was raining, and a black bear came at him, and he got the rifle up and was able to fire at the bear at 6 yards. And he was a little afraid the weapon was not going to go off.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But that was the only weapon he had.
Well, if I were in that area, I'd probably be carrying either a 10-millimeter Glock, which has proved fairly effective, or a 44 Magnum. I think even a 357, but even 9mm. Any reasonably high-powered pistol cartridge seems to help a lot.
And the big advantage is you have it with you. It's hard to gut out an elk while you're holding a rifle in your hand, but you can have a pistol on your hip. And probably if there's a couple of you, one of you should be standing watch. And if you're standing watch, it's probably better to have a rifle or a shotgun with slugs than a handgun. But handguns have proven to be extraordinarily effective in defending people against bear attacks. And I'm convinced that it's mostly because they have the gun on them. So many people, when they're out hunting in an area where they can see a long ways, have that gun slung over their shoulder where it takes a good bit of time to get it out, or they carry it with an empty chamber, or they're gutting an animal or doing something else. They lean the gun up to a tree and it's a couple steps away. You know, this, I'm convinced that one of the reasons handguns have proved effective is because people have them on their person. And I would certainly carry one if I were an area that I believed was infested with bears. And of course, you know, humans are a threat in themselves, and handguns are pretty effective in stopping humans too.
Yeah. Well, when we get back, I also want to talk about the other things that humans run into when they're out there in the woods besides other humans. And bring one thing up that I noticed, but I just want to get your opinions on this. Mr. Weingarten is a writer that writes about politics. He writes about hunting. He writes about shooting. He writes about guns. He covers the whole gamut of anything that anybody could possibly be involved in. And he's at arguably one of the bigger, if not the biggest aggregator of gun news out there, AmmoLand.com. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high, no matter what amount you take. What does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied. But you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. And purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
Broadcasting to over 1,000 radio stations, GCN programming is in all of the largest markets. A GCN advertising career could be the business opportunity you've been waiting for. Companies need hardworking representatives just like you to handle their needs, while you earn residual income which can last for years. Companies are buying and they need you. Email advertise at gcnlive.com or call 877-996-4327. That's 877-996-4327. Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Get relief for your neck or back pain when you search Amazon for sunshine pillows, heating wraps, and pads, often listed as an Amazon choice.
Why take another pill?
Now, from Sunny Bay and by customer demand, we introduce our extra long neck heating wrap, a complete wrap, wide and hands-free, and brings fast relief to those who suffer from neck or back pain.
You can easily find Sunshine Pillows on Amazon.
Or search Amazon for our new Sunny Bay disposable heat pads. Or look for Sunny Bay heated neck wraps for relief from back pain to menstrual pain and cramps.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
See why our company, Biomed DB Design, has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Just go to Amazon.com and search Sunny Bay, or call us 253-678-1361.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Last time on the firing line with the busy folk, coming to you live from the AR-500 Armor Radio Studio, this is Lock and Load. I am talking to Dean Weingarten. We've been talking primarily about hunting and running into predators out there in the wild. Running into a moose is not a real big fun thing either, is it?
Well, I think more people are killed by moose, a lot more than are killed by bears in Alaska or in Canada or in Maine, for that matter. So moose are just more common because, you know, they don't require as concentrated food as bears, so they can have a much bigger population. And a lot of people are killed with moose, or by moose, I should say.
Right.
And heck, a lot of them people are not huge numbers, but certainly are killed. If you hit a moose on the road, it's a whole different experience than hitting a deer. You know,
yes.
The moose weighs at least five times as much as that deer. And, you know, their legs are long. You know, even a 1,000-pound, 1,500-pound animal coming through the windshield of your car, it's no fun.
Right. Have you seen that video of the guy on the snowmobile that runs into the moose on the pass?
Yeah, I wrote an article about that, actually.
Now, what kind of gun was it? That looked like either a Glock 26 or a 27.
27,
okay. Now, that seemed pretty effective.
It was. And, you know, I've been surprised at how effective what people think of as smaller calibers. There have been 4 bear attacks, 2 black bear, 2 grizzly bear attacks that were effectively stopped by somebody with a 9mm. And that's the smallest, least powerful caliber of all the ones I've seen that have been used in defense against bears. Now, we have incidents, rare incidents, where large grizzly bears were killed with .22 rimfire. But it usually wasn't in a case where the bear was actively attacking.
Right.
In fact, in 1954, 1953, I'm no more than a year off there. There was an Indian woman in, I believe it was Alberta, Bella Twin, who shot a world record grizzly with a little Cooey single shot 22 rifle using 22 longs, it has been reported. Not long rifle, not shorts, 22 longs.
Right.
And she shot it one time at apparently very close range, right in between the ear and the eye and the side of the head. If you've ever examined a bear skull, you see that that's kind of a fairly weak spot. And the bear went down with one shot. She had about 6 or 7 more 22 longs in her pocket, and she emptied those into its skull as well. You can see all the holes in the skull that's been preserved, and one of those 22 long, you know, a little 29 grain bullet, went all the way through the bear's skull and exited the other side.
Wow. And then there's mountain lions, of course, which here in South Carolina, they say they don't exist, even though they've got pictures of them looking in the trail camera saying, hey, what's this?
Clearly expanding their range all over the country. And we're having more cases of people defending themselves against mountain lions. There's been three in the last couple of years. Hunters in each case that had a long gun and managed to see the cat very close to them and stalking them and shot it before it sprang on them.
Right.
One was, I think, a 12-year-old girl in New Mexico, and the other, another was a relatively young hunter. I think he's 18 or 19 in Iowa, I believe. And then another New Mexico case with an adult man in his 30s. And they all of them just happened to notice the cat as it was stalking them. The girl in New Mexico, the cat was, I believe, 8 feet away.
Well, what about the? I just read an article where a young lady shot at a cougar with a bow and arrow as it was stalking her 6-year-old brother. And I think this happened last week, and then her father came out there and finished
it off. You know, I haven't read that, but I think I heard or saw a reference to it somewhere. It usually doesn't take nearly as much to deter one of a mountain lion from attacking than it does a bear. I mean, they're smaller animals, for one thing. A really enormous mountain lion would be 200 pounds.
They're also ambush hunters, right? I mean, if they don't...
That's right. And they're almost all of the mountain lion attacks I've read about are predatory attacks, which is they're after food. They aren't defending territory, you know, young. It's kind of like the black bears. Most of the black bear attacks on people are predatory attacks. And if a predator has to fight really hard to finish off a prey animal in a predatory attack, it doesn't last very long because it gets wounded and gets hurt. And when they're hurt, they die, you know. So predators have to be pretty careful on picking prey that they can overcome with a reasonable amount of low risk. So if you stand up to a predator that's close to your size and they know they've been spotted, there's a good chance you can deter them from attacking.
Right. I've been spraying my inhaler, so I've got a lot of congestion coming up. Don't pay me no attention. If somebody were going to look for a gun to carry and they wanted to get the smallest caliber they could, and this is going to be something they're going to take out in the woods as the emergency option that they may have at hand, and you're looking at, say, those three animals, mountain lions, moose, and bears, what would be, you think, a decent caliber?
The first question you ask is, what do they have? If they have something they're familiar with, if they're normally carrying a 40 or a 9 or a 45, I say, well, carry that. You're familiar with it. You know how to use it. If they're looking at, if they're not familiar, you know, maybe something like a 357 revolver, which is sort of the all-purpose gun and is not too much gun for most people most of the time. It's hard to beat a good 357 revolver for almost anything. I might recommend that. But I'd say, what do you have? What are you familiar with? What's your experience? Because nothing fits everybody all the time. A lot of people like revolvers. I like semi-automatics too. You know, the 10 millimeter is as powerful as the 357, has a little bit of edge in bullet diameter. They're both very capable guns. They're available and capable guns that can be handled with a fair amount of ease. If you've got real small hands, revolver is probably a better choice.
Right.
There's a lot of things that go into these decisions. And so I would say, 9 millimeter, 357. What do you have? I would when it comes to black bear and mountain lions, I think almost any, firearm would probably be effective.
Okay.
Most of the black bear attacks are predatory, and very often the people being attacked get a little bit of warning, and they see that bear, you know, with its eyes on them like a cat on a bird from, you know, 10 or 15 feet away. Well, I mean, even at a 22 pistol, you could probably pop them if you know bear anatomy in the right place in the head and put them down, or they'll be stung enough to probably take off instead of attacking you because they've been hurt.
And a mountain lion doesn't take a huge amount to deter either.
Right.
When you get into the bigger bears and moose, lots of moose have been killed with 22s, but it's not when they're trying to kill you,
Right.
So, I hesitate to say anything less than a 9mm or a 357 for a moose.
Is a 40 a decent round to carry out for that? And we got about a minute
I think it is. There's not that many people that carry them out in the wild, but we have a couple of cases where 40s have been used against bears effectively. And remember, these are really rare instances. But when I'm out in the wilderness, I carry a pistol with me because, I'm used to carrying one all the time anyway. And,
right.
And it can be a dangerous place. I've been surprised at I looked at some statistics on Yellowstone. I'm hoping to do an article on it. It turns out you're more likely to be killed by a bear in Yellowstone than you are to be murdered by a human being. So, and there's a lot more humans in Yellowstone than there are bears.
Yeah. Next week, if we can, I want to talk a little bit about calibers. If you'll be thinking about that for me, because I respect what you might have to say about it. I've seen some of your stuff on this. So you can find Dean's stuff, the 1,000-plus articles he's written at Ammoland.com. And you can find him here now every Wednesday on Lock and Load. So thank you for joining me this evening, sir.
Pleasure, Bill.
Likewise. We'll be back again in 21 hours between now and then. Remember this, it's never been about gun control, not once, not ever. It has been. It's always going to be about total control. This has been Lock and Load. Frustrated by your lack of shooting accuracy? Mantis X can help. Mantis X is an electronic coaching system that analyzes your shooting mechanics, diagnoses your issues, and recommends improvements, all in real time. Attach the motion sensor to your gun, pair it with our free coaching app on your phone, and start shooting. Mantis X shows you what you're doing wrong. Use Mantis X three ways: live fire, dry fire, or airsoft. Shoot, analyze, improve. MantisX.com. Cheaper Than Dirt is America's ultimate shooting sports discounter. We sell it for less because we can. From ammo and gun to optics, from hunting and shooting to survival gear, we have everything for the outdoors. And all high-quality brand-name product from your favorite manufacturers. Enjoy the Cheaper Than Dirt Rewards program, where every dollar earns points and gets you more gear. At Cheaper Than Dirt, we sell it for less, and it's all in stock and ready to ship.
Message and data rates may apply. Individual results may vary. See website for details.
But hey, I'm buying a huge flat-screen TV so I can finally see it without my glasses.
Why not just get LASIK at the LASIK Vision Institute? That's what I'm doing.
My glasses and contacts are a pain. I'd love to finally get rid of these, but who can afford LASIK?
You can. Because the LASIK Vision Institute is offering dramatically low prices and an absolutely free consultation. Just text DO33 to 350350. The LASIK Vision Institute has already performed over a million procedures. They use the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology that helps the majority of patients achieve 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Better vision, better value. The LASIK Vision Institute. Make this the year you finally get LASIK. For a free consultation plus an extra 20% discount, text DO33 to 350350. You'll see for free if LASIK is right for you. That's DO33 to 350350.